This is Nurse Gizzer News for the week of March 18th, 2019, and I'm your host, Rebecca Hartman Baker. Today's guest is Mustafa Mustafa. Mustafa is a machine learning engineer in the Data and Analytics Services Group. When he's not working, you might find Mustafa in the kitchen baking sourdough bread. Mustafa, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
So today's topic is the Deep Learning for Science Summer School. So first of all, Mustafa, what is deep learning and how is it different from or the same as machine learning? And why would you want to use it in science?
That's a good question. So machine learning concerns building machine algorithms or computer algorithms to learn things from data, learning things as in learning how to perform certain tasks based on data. Deep learning uses neural networks to do exactly the same thing that machine learning does, but we have realized recently that deep learning can do it much, much better than the general shallow learning methods that we know from machine learning. Deep learning uses something called neural networks, and it is deep because the more of those neural networks we stack together, the more that we increase the depth. And what we have realized is that the deeper these models are, they tend to be better at solving more and more complex tasks. So we're all going for depth these days.
Okay, so what is a neural network and what are you talking about when you're talking about depth?
So a neural network is generic functions that we can use to approximate other functions. And they are generally composed of one simple function that can be, like, for example, a linear function plus an activation. And an activation is a way to decide if to transmit the output of the linear function to the next layer or to modulate it or cut it out altogether. A neural network, we can stack these functions after each other. So the output of the first one would go into the second one would go into the third one. And the more of these we have in the stack, the deeper the models become. And these are generally, these functions can be, the most famous of them are the fully connected, which are what we call fully connected functions, which are essentially a linear or affine, technically affine functions. And the other ones are called convolutional neural networks, which we use on a variety of data modalities, but mostly for vision tasks.
Okay. So how do you know what functions to choose? I mean, you said the function could be anything. But there must be some that are better than others?
Yes. So some of them are better than others for practical reasons. For example, being easier to compute, that would be something important. Being easier to make the system learn the task also would be another property that is very important. And there are other things that we know about the world that we live in that we would like to bake into these functions as a prior. So for example, the property of translation invariance is something very important we're familiar with in life, that if you have a cat in an image, whether the cat is in the lower left or in the upper right, it's still the same object or still the same cat. So this is a property called translation equivariance is baked into the convolutional neural networks, for example, and that is a part of that function by construction.
Okay, so how deep are these neural network stacks? Like, very deep?
Yes, so the winner of the 2012 computer vision competition is AlexNet, and that was 8 layers deep. And then the realization then came that, first of all, we have devices to actually compute deeper and deeper models, and also understanding that the deeper the models, the better they perform. So things have progressed every year. Year after year, we started getting more and more layers in these winners of the competition. And now we're talking about 152 layers is the winner, I think, of 2016 competition.
Wow, that's a lot.
And there are, yes, and there are actually, in research papers, people have managed to train 1,000 layer networks.
Wow, amazing, amazing. It strikes me as an inherently sequential process. You have the output of one of these layers and it goes into the input for the next layer. So how can this sort of work be done on a parallel supercomputer?
So there are multiple ways of doing it. You can imagine something called model parallelism. So you can imagine the work that you have in every layer is distributed among multiple workers. So they divide that work in that layer between themselves. And that is an advanced mode of parallelism that we think will be very important in the upcoming years, and people are working on building frameworks for that. But most of the time when we talk about distributed training right now, we talk about each one of the workers doing the work independently on different data batches. And then at the end, by the time the output of the last layers we get out, we figure out how to basically aggregate the output and do things correctly. But they work on different separate data batches.
I see. Okay. So if you're doing the first thing that you mentioned, which was parallelism within the computation of that layer, is that so one of the things you mentioned was like it, if you have a function that's easy to compute, but in this case that would be a more complex function, and that would enable you maybe to see more features or something.
So the function could be more complex, but sometimes the input data can be very, very big. So think of, for example, satellite images or MRI CT scans. The input images are very, very high resolution that you would probably want to process different parts of that concurrently on different devices.
Okay. All right. Well, so people are going to learn a lot more than what we've just talked about in the actual summer school.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so that school is in July, the 15th through the 19th, and there's an application process.
Yes, so we're very excited to have this. We think that deep learning has a lot of applications in science, and we're really excited about this time. And so we thought about having the school where we focus mostly on the practical side of deep learning, how to build deep learning models, how to solve the problems that we are concerned with in science. And we opened the application about a week ago. We'll still be accepting applications until the end of March. And then this is still the first time that we're doing this school. So we decided to do it here and, at the lab. And because of space constraints, we will have to review those applications and respond back to the applicants, select applicants to come and invite them to register and come to the school in the summer. And for those whose applications don't get selected or who don't get the opportunity to actually apply for this year, we will have recordings of the school where we will post them online. Hopefully, if everything goes well, we'll have it for them online.
Okay, cool. So what topics are going to be covered in the school?
The school is 5 days. The first day will be focusing mostly on introductory material. So we'll talk about machine learning. We'll talk about how deep learning is situated within machine learning. And then we'll have about 3 hours lecture on neural networks. Of course, it's divided into two lectures. And essentially how to build neural networks, how to optimize them, and all the primitives that go into building these new models. And then at the end of the day, there will be a practical session where people will get to actually a hands-on experience for how to build these models. The second day will mostly focus on practical things, including how to debug neural networks, for example, how to use different frameworks, how to debug neural networks, how to optimize these models to the tasks that people are looking at. Hyperparameter optimization will be also an important talk. The third and fourth days, they're mostly focused on applications of deep learning to solving tasks that we care about in science. So we'll have a talk on segmentation, we'll have a talk on sequential models, we'll also have a talk or more on generative models and transfer learning. The fifth day will be mostly focused on high-performance computing side of deep learning, so how to do distributed training of neural networks on multiple devices and multiple nodes, and also a practical session where the students will get to actually do that themselves on the Cori machine. On the fourth day, there will also be a poster session where a lot of our attendants will get to present their posters and share with others how they're applying deep learning to their domain of science.
Okay. Well, that all sounds really interesting. So how did you get into machine learning, Mustafa? I mean, that's not something that you learn about in high school or something.
Yes, yeah, so it was some path to here. So I started out doing physics. I did theoretical physics, then did experimental physics for my grad school. And then I spent a couple of years doing a postdoc in high energy nuclear physics. During that time, we did use a lot of statistical methods to analyze data, very large amounts of data, and also got to build, for example, simulators in more traditional ways, like Monte Carlo, for example, simulations. And then I came to NERSC to do a computing postdoc and got the opportunity to spend some time trying to understand this new field that everyone is talking about, which is deep learning. And it was immediately clear that deep learning will have a central role in how we do science in the future. So I decided to focus my research on that. I do think that this is a very exciting time for deep learning and for science, because there are so many questions to answer. There are so many problems to solve, and we just need more people to actually focus on them. And this is unlike, you know, in many other fields, at least speaking for myself, you can spend your time in a field where the questions that people are asking are the same questions that were asked 15 or 20 years ago. And that is not the case in deep learning. On a weekly basis, we do have new improvements and new advances in the field. And at the same time, we know that there are problems that will take 3 or 4 or 5 years to solve and that need to be solved in piecemeal. So it was a natural progression given, you know, the way that I came to here.
Well, yeah. Glad you came.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, so finishing up here, Mustafa, 3 things you want NERSC users to know.
I think for machine learning, if you're interested in applying machine learning and if you're a NERSC user, I can tell you 3 things. First of all, we do have TensorFlow optimized for your KNL architecture. We also have PyTorch, and they're continuously being benchmarked and optimized. We're working with the vendors to optimize them for our architectures. So please try them out. The other thing is that if you're just, you know, casually trying machine learning on small problems and you just want to explore things, Jupyter at NERSC is a great way to do that. So try Jupyter at NERSC. You can use any of the deep learning kernels or whatever kernel that you want to actually run there. Third thing is, if you're experienced with machine learning and you want to train your models faster, we have used Harvard extensively at Cori. Harvard is a framework for training distributed deep learning models from Uber, and you can try that, check it out, and try it on the machine. And if you need any help, please let us know. Myself or Steve Farrell is the other machine learning engineer at NERSC.
Okay, great. Well, those are 3 great tips. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for the time. Thanks.